Anyone tell me what it's been for the last 2 weeks, children? What's been happening in our country, in London in particular, in the last 2 weeks? Yes. The Olympics. You'd have to have been a very long way away, perhaps in a foreign country with no news, to not know that was going on. So the Olympics has been going on, and today is a few boxing matches, and there's the marathon. So let's suppose that I was running the marathon. Do you know, I'm really hot already. But if I was running the marathon like this, maybe a little bit faster, I wouldn't get very far. No, you're right, Mary. So just assume for a moment that I don't want to get out of breath. I might pass out. You know, I've passed out on an aeroplane before now, so don't want to do that again. What would you say to encourage me? Yeah, that sort of thing. You might say that. What else might you say? Yeah, that's good. Anything else you might say? You've never been to a sport, yes?
Go England.
Pardon? Go England, yeah, you might say that. Go GB. Sorry for any Scottish people here.
You're doing well, keep going.
You shout your name.
Yeah, you might shout my name, yeah, that would be good. And you might say other things like, yeah, technique looks all right. Or you might say, you need to run a bit faster, like Mary was saying. Or you might say, get your head up, or put your head down, or swing your arms a bit more, or run a bit straighter. You're going all over the place. Well, what we're thinking about this morning is how we can encourage other Christians to keep going in the Christian life. This sermon's got to be a bit of a sprint because we haven't got very long now. But the Christian life is not like a sprint. It's not like a quick race. The Christian life is much more like a marathon race. It's a long race for most of us. Unless we become Christians at the very, very end of our lives, it's a long race. There are a lot of different stages to it. And there are times when all of us, I think all Christians who've been Christians a long time would tell you there are days or weeks or months, sometimes years, when we feel like giving up. There's not a big crowd around us. We seem to be on our own and we feel like giving up. Sometimes it's hard and discouraging. And what we're thinking about this morning is how Christians can encourage other Christians to keep going. Four things to say. That's some people running, encouraging them to keep going. Got four things to say, and they're four little texts, little bits of a verse or a couple of verses from 1 Thessalonians. That's a letter that Paul wrote to a church in Thessalonica, a big Roman city. And we've got some little bits of the letter which we managed to get from Paul, and it's here with us this morning. They're in special envelopes. I've mucked up the whole system because the envelopes are where you guys were sitting, but you're now sitting at the front. And I can't remember where any of them are. But whoever was sitting, I remember where this one is, whoever was sitting over there, there was an envelope in the back of a seat there, that's it. And if you could find that, one of you, and open it, it's part of the letter from Paul to the Thessalonians. And if you want to open it up, I think that's the only one I actually stuck down. I got a bit cleverer after the first one, didn't stick them down. It's not very exciting. I should have put chocolates in there, shouldn't I? But there we are. It's just a piece of paper. But it's part of the letter from Paul. Okay. The others will be quicker because they're not stuck down. Right. Can someone who's got a good reading voice read it for me, what it says?
Timothy, our brother, works with us for God and helps us to tell people the good news about Christ. We send him to strengthen and encourage you in faith so none of you would be upset by these troubles.
Thank you. So Paul, there's on the screen for you as well what was just read out. Paul has sent Timothy. Timothy is a Christian. He's a leader. He goes to encourage the Christians in Thessalonica. That's where Paul's writing the letter to, because they're having a tough time. People are treating them really badly because they're Christians. They were treating Paul quite badly. Paul was in this city and he got thrown out not really badly thrown out. He wasn't beaten or anything, but he was kind of pushed on, moved on, because he was too disruptive. And the Thessalonians now, even their friends and their family, are doing bad things to them because they're Christians. So Paul sends Timothy to encourage them, and to strengthen them in their faith. And you know what? That reminds us that we encourage one another by telling and retelling the gospel. You see, when you're running the marathon, that's the Christian life, and you're feeling a bit fed up, you need to know that the gospel is really true. Because some days being a Christian's not too bad. And you think, well, whether it's true or not, doesn't matter because life's pretty pleasant and I don't want to change anything in my life. So some days it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. But there are days when it really matters if the gospel is true. Because if it's not true, give up. If you're not really running a proper race and you're in a marathon race and it's not a proper race and you're kind of dreaming it, you're on your own, you're out in a field somewhere, and there are no commentators, and there are no spectators, and there is no prize, you just made it up in your head, and you're just having a jog with the dog, or on your own, or whatever, then when you get tired, just give up. Because nothing's really happening. It's just you. But if it's true, then you keep going. And the gospel is true. And I reckon Timothy went to Thessalonica, and he encouraged them about the gospel. Because it says, he helps us tell people the good news about Christ. That's what Timothy's job was. He was what's called an evangelist. He told people the good news about Jesus. And that's why he went to Thessalonica to strengthen them, to say, look, Jesus really did die, and he really did rise again, and he's really in heaven now. So look, it's all true. Actually, there are some disciples and loads of other people who actually saw him, and they've given testimony. It's all true. So keep going. We need to tell the gospel to each other lots of times. Sometimes when you come to church, you think, well, I've heard all that before, really. And I know the basic idea. Jesus, he lived, he died, he rose again. I'm not right with God. I need to be friends with God. I've heard that a few times. Do I really need to hear it again? You do. You do because it's true. You do because it's massive. You do because you easily forget and you think, I can do without God. Or other people say things to you and you wonder, is it true? So we always need to be telling the gospel. We try and tell it a lot when we're preaching. It's always there somewhere when we're preaching. And we want to tell the gospel to our friends who are Christians and keep telling them the gospel. Children, you need to learn from a very young age how to explain the gospel. It's a good thing to know. It's a good thing to know it for yourself in your heart. It's a good thing to be able to say it to other people, to explain the good news about Jesus to somebody else. So we encourage one another by telling and retelling the gospel. The second thing is we're encouraged by the faith of other Christians and other churches. So here we go. There should be another envelope somewhere that's number 2. Excellent. Do you want to open it up? It's a bit more of the letter of Paul to Thessalonica. There we go. Do you want to read that one? Do you want a bit of help reading that one? Do you want to give it to... Millie will do an amazing job of that. Go for it. It's up on the screen as well. So if you do it badly, it doesn't matter. But if you do it well, that's even better.
Came back to us from you and has brought us good news about your father and your faith and love. He told us that you always remember us in a good way and that you want to see us just as much as we want to see you. So, brothers and sisters, while we have much trouble and suffering, we are encouraged about you because you are faithful.
Brilliant, Millie. That was very good. That was quite a long reading. Excellent. So that's a little bit later in the letter. And Paul is really encouraged. Oh, that came a bit early. Paul is really encouraged about the Christians at Thessalonica. There's been some really great stories at the Olympics, haven't there? I suppose that's why you cry. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday. You know, lots of people cry who are receiving the medals. Lots of people cry who are not receiving the medals. A lot of you guys cried, didn't you, as you were watching it on television? Why? Why? But I suppose it's kind of the story that leads up to the whole thing. It's something about it that gets you, isn't it? So, you know, I've been crying my eyes out. My family will tell you this. That we've run out of tissues in our house because I've been crying so much. But it's the stories that get you, I suppose, more than the actual kind of winning. It's the story that leads up to it. So you would know lots of stories. Do you remember what this lady won, any of the children? Yes? What was it to do with? Horses. Yes, Samuela? Yeah, it was to do with horse riding. It was this thing. Anyone know the fancy name for it? Dressage, yes. Don't know why it's got that name, but it's called dressage. And it's really horses prancing around and dancing to music, isn't it? With someone sort of sitting on them. So the horse should get the medal, really, and not the person, I reckon. But she won, and there was a nice little story of her mum. Her mum got an inheritance from, I don't know what relative, but she came into some money from a relative, and she bought the first horse for Laura. Not Laura, what's her name? Charlotte. Charlotte, she doesn't even sound English, does she? Charlotte Dujardin. But anyway, bought a horse for her. That was her first horse. It was a reasonable horse, so she started doing proper dressage in Grand Prix and stuff like that. And eventually got trained by the trainer, got into the GB team, got a gold medal. It's a great story. So when, you know, that moment when they get the medal, you do feel a bit emotional because of the whole story behind it. Anybody know, whoops, here we go, this one. Anyone know what she's called? Adults? Laura Trott, yeah, I think she's quite cool. She, what did she win? Yeah, she won cycling. I think she won two medals for cycling, didn't she? That's why she's got two medals in her hand. So that wasn't very clever of me, really, was it? But she did, and I'm sure you've heard this story as well, but she was born prematurely with a collapsed lung and was later diagnosed with asthma as well, connected with that, I suppose. And she was just recommended by the doctors to take up sport to try and regulate her breathing. And she did running, I think, and swimming and stuff, and did cycling, but she didn't really like cycling, but kind of had a go at it, and got a little bit better of it, and like the other people, she got noticed, and at a pretty young age, managed to get two gold medals. So that moment when they win, it's encouraging. It's a great story leading right up to the point, and then them actually winning. But even if they don't win, there's still great stories of people who've made sacrifices, who worked really hard, and can be really excited and pleased with what they've managed to do, even just getting to the final. Do you know what? We have really great stories about what God's done in our lives. Just at the moment, maybe these 2 weeks, it might not sound quite as exciting as the Olympics, but if you think about it in the big story of life, and if you seriously think about it, even in these 2 weeks, what we have to say are stories about God, who's a very, very big God, coming into our lives and doing stuff in our lives every day. We have great stories, and we need to tell the gospel, but we also need to tell gospel stories to one another. So what we were doing with Les this morning was we were hearing about someone who became a Christian. We were telling his story, and we find it really encouraging hearing his story and other people's story. I want to really encourage children, and maybe they might need their parents to help them, but children, if you know one of the adults here, one day just ask them, how did you become a Christian? You can ask them anything else, how they are, what they did this week. But maybe with a parent helping, you could go up to it, especially perhaps one of the older people. Pick somebody over 70, if that's older. That's the right to call you older, isn't it? I said, I'm not calling you old, I'm just calling you older than they are. And just ask them, tell us something about your story. How did you become a Christian? Or what did you used to do in church? How did you help in church? What did the church used to be like? Anything but stories about how God has worked in people's lives. We need to tell stories of God's goodness now, and we need to hear stories. Sometimes we can't read all the emails we get as members of the church, because there's lots of them about different things going on in different churches. But we definitely need to read some of them and read about what's going on in other churches, because we'll be encouraged. Of course, it helps us to pray as well, but it's really encouraging. There's a church here, and they've grown. Some people became Christians. There's a church over here, and they're suffering a lot. People are being really nasty to them, but they keep going. That's really encouraging. So Paul was really encouraged to hear about how things were going in Thessalonica, and we need to be encouraged by what we hear, and we need to be encouraging by saying how we're doing. We've got a meeting this evening that Matthew White's leading, if he's not arrested for parking his car illegally. And this evening we're going to have some songs and some prayers and some opportunity to say a few words for any of you. Come ready to share something about God's goodness to you. Maybe you've just been away on a week's holiday. Maybe something good's come out of that. Maybe you've got three sentences just to say. Maybe you can say, God just helped me in my work this week and I'm very thankful for it. We need to tell gospel stories, how God's been working in our lives. Third envelope, if someone could find, I think, yes. I remember now where the fourth one is. It's a bit more of Paul's letter. He was very kind, wasn't he, to give us bits of his letter. He cut it up with his own pair of scissors and gave it to us. Here we go. Is that quite a long one? It looks quite long to me. Do you want to do half each? Do you want to do up to where verse 18 starts and then swap over? Thank you very much. Well, oh, I feel bad now because the others didn't get a clap. That was a clap for everybody, wasn't it? The others as well. Well, what do some of the athletes, or whatever the other people are, say when they win? Olympian competitors say when they win. Yeah, they say yes. What else do they sometimes say? I've heard it quite a lot of times. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. There ought to be a ban on unbelievable. Anyway, they sometimes say it's unbelievable. What else do they quite often say?
Amazing.
It's amazing, yep. That's another one. It's well used.
Perhaps it's a dream come true.
I gave you a little sneak preview of that, didn't I? They say, it's a dream come true. Have you heard that? We've definitely heard that a bit the last couple of weeks. It's a dream come true. It's all I've ever dreamed about. And sometimes they say something else, which begins, children, it kind of begins something like, it's the best. Yeah, something like, it's the best thing that ever happened to me, or it can't get any better than this. You know, they say, it's amazing. The crowd's all been screaming and shouting at me, and I'm in the Olympic Stadium, and I've won. It can't possibly get better than this. Now, I know it's just a way of speaking, but it kind of made me sad when I've heard that, because I think, is that it really? Children, what is this? You don't have to say where it is, just what is. It's a hill. It's a bit bigger than a hill, I reckon. What's bigger than a hill, Nathan?
Mountain.
A mountain. Yeah, it's a mountain. It's not a very great picture, so a bit confusing. Normally they're really triangular, but it's a mountain range. It's a mountain. And do you know what you do, unless a helicopter rescues you? What do you do when you get to the top of a mountain if you've walked up? Pardon? You wave a flag, and then what do you do? You've walked all the way up. What do you do when you get to the top? Pardon?
You roll down the hill.
You roll down the hill. Somehow or other. Nathan the Explorer is about to go up Everest and roll down. You might say help. I was going for the much simpler, which is you get to the top and you plant your flag and you have your celebration or whatever, and then what you have to do is you have to go back down again. And if winning your Olympic gold is the top of the mountain for you, then it's all downhill after that, isn't it? Really? It's all downhill. It's all down. You know, I got to a milestone birthday this week, and it was either 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80. One of those. Children can guess. If you guess wrong, then the sermon's going to go on for a very long time. If you guess right, the sermon's going to go on for a very long time. If you guess low, that's good. And everybody... Thank you. The sermon's going to be very short now. The sermon's going to be very long. The thing is, however you kind of try and dress it up, at some point in your life, it's downhill. And maybe that's birth. You know, you can say life begins at 20 or 30 or 40, but you're just kidding yourself. You know, life doesn't. Life begins when it begins, and life ends pretty soon afterwards. And there is a point, I suppose, humanly speaking, where you're kind of at the peak, and then from then it's pretty much downhill. You lose faculties, you lose memory. You can't run as fast as you used to be able to run. You can't tell jokes, if you ever could, as well as you used to be able to. Everything you did, you can't quite do so well. You don't wear the right clothes anymore. You don't listen to the right music, and what music you do listen to, you can't even hear. That's what happens. It's downhill, perhaps all the way from birth. But you can be really encouraged as a Christian to keep going, because Jesus is coming back and we're going to be with him forever, and it does actually get better. You see, life's not downhill from 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever it is. It's not downhill all the way to nothing. It might be a little bit downhill because you're getting older, but actually you're going somewhere, and the somewhere, as we thought about in our verse for the year, is better by far. By far. So the Olympians are wrong, and you're wrong. Whatever experience you go through in life, whether it's getting married or winning a gold medal or something else, if you say, this is the best moment of my life, and you're a Christian, you're wrong. Because it's not the best moment of your life. It's a great moment in your life. It might be a great achievement. It might be a really happy day. But the best moment of your life will be when you stand in the presence of Jesus and you'll be with him forever. That is the best, and that's where we're going. And if you tell each other that, you'll be encouraged to keep going. Like somebody was saying to me as I was running round and round, not long to go now, 26 miles. You are going somewhere, and where you're going is better than where you are now. Therefore, says Paul, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another, talking about the future. So we're encouraged to keep going because Jesus is coming back. And lastly, we encourage when we help people to see the right way to go. We encourage when we help people to see the right way to go. Has someone got the last envelope? I think it's up there. Do you want to read it out, Joel, or do you want to bring it forward? Either is fine. Cool. Brilliant. Bit of teamwork's like the relay, isn't it? Passing it on. Injury. Do you want to go for it, Megan? It's on the screen as well, so don't worry. Thank you very much. So that's the last thing about encouraging, is that we need to encourage one another to do the right thing, to walk in the right way. Probably like me, you've now become an expert in a whole load of sports. And you're screaming at the television, do this, do that, run a bit faster, run a bit slower. You've gone too early. Your head's not straight. It needs to be up. It needs to be down. You need to swing your arms more. You need to keep the horse a bit more steady. You need to walk a straighter line. We're experts in all of those. Don't make a splash. I mean, isn't that ridiculous, that diving? The more you splash, the less points you get. What do they do? Count the number of drops that come out? Anyway, I know the tactics now. Have a straight body as you enter the thing. I'm going to do that. There is a guy who's afraid of heights, as well as me, who does the diving, apparently. He has to be kind of coached in heights. Have any of you ever had this experience, by the way, where you're on a very high diving board and you bottle out, you have to go down again? Have any of you done that? Yes. It's a bit scary, isn't it? I'm all right with the little bouncy one, but I've jumped from a high one, but I've also not jumped from a high one, because you get up there and you just can't do it. But anyway, we're all experts in sports, and we could tell them all how to do it now, couldn't we?
I'm good at running.
Yeah, and you could tell other people how to do it well. And sometimes, as Christians, we need to encourage people by saying, I think what you're doing is not right. We need to look at the Bible and say, I think what you're doing is not right, and you need to change. Encouraging people is not always saying, you're fine. Whatever you're doing, keep going. It's all cool. It's all fine. You'll work it out for yourself. That's not always being encouraging. You're doing the right thing. Well, if someone's not doing the right thing, it's not really very encouraging to tell them you're doing the right thing. Sometimes we need to tell people you're doing the wrong thing. We need to do it in an encouraging way, but sometimes we just need to tell them. So like Paul says here, encourage the people who are afraid, help those who are weak, be patient with everyone. And in other bits that we read, he was encouraging them to live in a right way because they're Christians. And not to be lazy, not to stop working, not to live like everyone else in the world was living, but to live like a Christian. And we need to encourage people by telling them how they should be living as we understand it. Sometimes we can do that in the preaching. But the preaching is not always the best way of encouraging people in that way. Sometimes we need to talk to people one-to-one. We need to go and visit them, or we need to develop a friendship with them. And then when we've earned the right through that relationship, sometimes we just need to say, I'm not sure what you're doing is right. We can look at the Bible together, we can pray about it together, but I'm just not sure. And I want to really encourage you to change. That's a really important responsibility if you're a Christian. You can do that as children. You can encourage other children to behave in a way that honours God. That's a good thing to do. Not in a telltale way, not in a I'm better than you way, but in a I really care about you and I really want you to walk and to run in the right way. And we need to be a church that encourages one another in just that way. Do you do that with anybody? Maybe it's time to start. Developing friendships with people and encouraging them to live in the right way. And you can encourage them in all the ways that we thought about this morning. There we go. We can encourage by telling each other the gospel. We can encourage by telling gospel stories. We can encourage by talking about the fact that Jesus is coming back. And we can encourage by helping people see the right way to go. And however old you are, that's a great work that all of us in the church can do, to encourage one another as we see the day approaching when Jesus is coming back, to keep encouraging one another to keep going. So just remember today, the day that the marathon's being run, children and adults, remember, if you're a Christian, you want to encourage other Christians to keep going. Not just by saying, keep going, but by saying, you're on your way to heaven. The gospel's true. Maybe you need to do this a little bit better. Maybe you need to do that a little bit better. And to encourage by telling our stories. This is how God's helping me to keep running. So God grant us the help to do that.